Welcome back to another edition of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are here. Joining me today is Rebecca Fredericks. She's a longtime veteran teacher. She's been a teacher for under 30 years, or has been a teacher for over 40 years. And today she is exposing the corruption. And today she is exposing the teachers' union. So I think we're going to learn some stuff that we may not know about the teachers' union. So make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Please do so. And hey, if you believe in what I'm doing, please go to theambermayshow.com, click donate button, and donate whatever you think you could donate to help support the program, or going to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there as well. I always add more content, so join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. You can find me at True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May, and you can also find me on Clout Hub. So join me there. Please like, check out the description below and check out all of our sponsors. They're on the description below or they're on the website at theambermayshow.com. So coming up next is Rebecca Fredericks, and she is going to talk about the teachers union right now. A wonderful lady joining me today. Her name is Rebecca Fredericks, and she's been a school teacher, like I told you earlier in the intro, for many, many years. And she has some bombshell information she's going to share with us about the unions the teachers are involved in. Well, so welcome, Rebecca, to the program. I am so glad to have you today.
Well, it's really nice to be here today, Amber May. Thanks for having me.
You are involved in so many different things. You've been a school teacher for just under 30 years. You have a documentary that came out. You're an author. I don't know where we should begin with your story.
Well, how about at the beginning? Okay. Would that work? So, you know, it was 1987, and I was a student teacher. I was just learning how to teach. I had this incredible master teacher. She taught me. I mean, I don't know what I would have done without her. She taught me how to teach. But next door every day, I would witness as this other teacher was manhandling the children. She was abusing them. She'd grab them. She'd yank them. She'd scream in their little faces. And they were first graders, okay, 6 years old. And it was mostly the wiggly little boys that she picked on, little boys that couldn't stand still to save their souls. And, you know, I just thought, what's going on here? And I witnessed this every day for months. So I went to my master teacher and I said, you know, I've been learning about becoming a mandated reporter of child abuse. I see child abuse. It's the teacher next door. What do I do? And my master teacher sat me down and she said, Rebecca, today's the day you learn about teacher unions. And she told me that the unions did not represent teachers. Teachers did not want the unions. Now, there's some teachers now who have been manipulated into thinking the unions are their friends and that the unions are good for them, but they're not. And in the beginnings, the teachers did not want them. And she explained to me that the unions were not only using teacher money to support and promote a very radical, far left, really communist agenda, but they were defending abusive teachers like the one next door. She told me the district knew she was a problem, but you couldn't get rid of her. So I learned, you know, I was 22 at that point. I didn't know much, but over all these years, I've learned that the problem isn't teacher tenure like most people think. It's collectively bargained grievance procedures that make it almost impossible for districts to rid themselves of these abusers, and the kids are out of luck. It's totally immoral. It's 100% thanks to these people who call themselves a teacher union. They call themselves teacher union because they gain credibility by calling themselves teachers, by calling themselves a union, because unions traditionally have done some good things for people. They are neither one. I call them the education mafia. All they do is use teachers as a pawn to fund a radical communist agenda. I've been blowing this whistle for 35 years. Nobody wanted to listen to me for the longest time. They thought I was, you know, had a tinfoil hat and I was kooky. And now people are seeing it. Now they're seeing this agenda unfold. The radical sex agenda, that's a communist agenda, sexualizing children. Undermining education, dumbing children down, that's a communist agenda. Destroying families, not allowing parents to have a voice, That's a communist agenda. Once you understand how communists work, they work to, they are anti-God, anti-family, anti-America, anti-freedom, anti-morals. Once you understand that, you see it for what it is. And so they are so-called teacher unions. They do not represent teachers. And it's my goal to get people to help me rebrand them as the education mafia, because that's who they really are.
I like what you said, because I like how Kash Patel calls big government, government gangsters, the people that are corrupt and government, government gangsters. We could even call that the teacher union gangsters, but yours is just as catchy. You are right on the money about the communism and the destruction of the family unit. I had a phenomenal professor at Arizona State, and I studied broadcasting and sociology, and he was the best teacher I had there on campus. And he said, if you want to destroy a country, you destroy the family unit. Because if you have a strong family unit, then communism can't take over. You can't destroy the country. Now, if you weaken the family unit, he says, you can usher in communism. You can take over a country. But a strong family unit is a protection. So it not only protects the people inside of that family, but it protects the community. And I love General Flynn. He says local action creates national impact. The little family unit creates national impact. If you have a strong family unit, your country is much more safer than if you have families that are broken up and divided. Yeah.
Yes.
I think your point is very important to discuss.
Yeah. I mean, this is precisely why they have used our schools to undermine our families. Think about it. When our founders first created our educational system, the federal government was not involved. The state government was not involved. The state had authority, but they were not involved. What did our founders do? If you started a town, they gave you a plot of land, which is a nice gift, a plot of land, in order to start your school. You built it, your community, your neighborhood, built it, you funded it, you brought in the teacher, you brought in whatever curricula you wanted to use. And by the way, in those days, the curricula was things like the Bible. Yes. And, you know, later the McGuffey readers, earlier on the New England primers, the Bluebacks, Noah Webster's Blueback Speller, all these things, you use scripture to teach our children, even the alphabet. Why? Because scripture teaches virtue. And so, the government was not involved at all. None of this good. I mean, one of the things, like, we have to help people to understand that you don't want government funding your school. You don't want to be in a government funded school in any way. You don't want the money to follow the child. I know it's really popular to say that with school choice, but the problem is when government money follows a child into a homeschool or a private school, all of a sudden that homeschool or private school can be told that they have to do what the government tells them to do, the LGBTQ agenda, the communist agenda. So it's really important for people to step back and to understand the history in our country. We were great. And our education system was great. And our over 90% of our people were reading fine. Now we have millions of functional illiterates. Why? Because the government got involved.
So now tell me about that, because you mentioned something on the broadcast that you were on with my friend. And it really kind of piqued my interest, because you said they got rid of phonics and they're doing sight words. Yeah. And it's funny that you said that that made all the difference for the negative, because I have a child who's struggling with reading, but is not learning phonics. He had to learn sight words. Go into that for a minute.
Wow. So first of all, for your little son, just immediately remove every sight word. Don't use any sight words and get him on a phonics program. I can help you today find a great phonics program.
He gets tested on it, so he does have to know these words.
That's the crazy.
I totally would love to do the phonics thing for him.
Yeah. So that's the crazy problem. So they test him on it. So what they're doing is they're purposely, now the teachers who are doing this to him, they don't know. They're not bad people. They're being used as pawns in an agenda. So what happened early on, our founders knew, based on 3,500 years of historical evidence, that when you have an alphabetical language like English, you use phonics to teach people how to read. 3,500 years, we've been doing that throughout the world, and it works. Okay, so in America, our children were reading just fine. Look, you can teach a child to read in a couple of months. Okay, end of their first year of reading, they could tackle the Wall Street Journal. They might not understand every word, but they could decode them and they could read it. Okay. What happens with a sight program is they're not learning to read. They're just memorizing a list of words. So if you're in a sight program, Dick and Jane, you know, any Houghton Mifflin sight program, whatever it is, if it's not a phonics program, then the children will come out with a very small vocabulary of words they have memorized. They do not know how to attack new words. They also do not understand the roots of a lot of words that help them to understand new words that are related to words that have the same roots. So what happened in our country was the so-called teacher unions, education mafia, was started in 1857. They stated that they were socialists. They stated that they wanted to change the American educational system. They wanted to bring in the Prussian system, which is a top-down system. And what did they do? Through many different efforts and starting schools and all kinds of things and working with other allies, they on purpose removed phonics. Now, when they were doing this, when they started removing phonics from specific schools, teachers were in an uproar. This is not working. Stop it. Don't bring in this program anymore. The kids need the phonics. They're not learning how to read. But of course, the unions who think they know better than everyone, okay, pride people comes from the devil. These people are so prideful and they, oh, we know better. They removed the phonics throughout the nation and replaced it with Dick and Jane and other sight programs. What happened? Immediately, the children weren't learning to read, mass numbers of them. So before we removed the phonics, nobody in America had ever heard of dyslexia. It was a very rare condition. Maybe a few doctors knew about it. No one had heard of dyslexia. We remove the phonics. We bring in SightWorks. Now we have all this dyslexia problems. The other thing is Americans could read. If an American wasn't able to read and was illiterate, it was because that American either chose not to go to school, lived out in an area where they didn't take advantage of the charity or whatever that was offered to them. And that's why they couldn't read. The rest of them who went to school could read. Now here in America, we have millions and millions of functional illiterates. What is a functional illiterate? That means you can read a few words, but you can't tackle life. You can't go out and really function, keeping a checkbook, working with the bank, working a job. What caused this? Sight reading. So this education mafia did this on purpose. So anyone who's going to defend the union, say they're good. No, they're evil. They purposely made millions of people unable to read and stole our tax dollars to do it. So this is a very evil agenda. And like you said earlier, that communists, they have to undermine the family. The other thing they have to undermine is education and morals. Our founders, our American founders told us the only way to keep a free republic is with a well-educated, moral citizenry that can self-govern. Look at us now. We have so many that can't self-govern. Why? They're uneducated, poorly educated. As Sam Sorbo would say, they've been schooled, not educated, and they're immoral. We used to teach morals in America's schools. We weren't teaching religion, but we had the Ten Commandments hanging on every wall. Why? Because it's moral to honor your mother and father. It's moral to not murder. These things, it's moral to not lie. So we were teaching our kids morals and our country was great for it. And we had all these entrepreneurs and we were thriving. Now we're in this destructive mode. Our families are undermined. And it's all thanks to this education mafia. And earlier you mentioned the government gangsters that Kash Patel is talking about. The unions are 100% a part of those government gangsters. That's how the gangsters got into our agencies and institutions. They're all unionized. So these unions are a huge problem in this country. They are the deep state.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver. And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke, and you are listening to the Amber May Show.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah, so I love what you had to say. So explain to us how the whole money system and the mafia works with the teachers union, because some people right now are like, their heads are exploding, like, what, the teachers union aren't good, what? Because you know what they did? They went after the teachers, who are one of the most trusted people in society. Because we all had those good experiences with our teacher, where we had this woman, oftentimes a woman over a man, sometimes a man, but oftentimes we had this wonderful woman who just loved us so much. We enjoyed being around her. We spent most of our day with her, and she would teach us things, and it was a wonderful experience. Like, my generation and below, we had these great experiences with these wonderful people. And so my generation and above, when you hear teachers, you're thinking of a trustworthy person. You're thinking of someone that you care about in society. There's all these good feelings that come out when you hear the word teacher. Yeah. So this is really new information for a lot of us, that the teachers are being used and manipulated, and the unions are a lot behind it. Do I have that right?
You do have it right. The unions are 100% behind it. And the teachers are being more, they're being used, they're being manipulated, but they're also being deceived. And another thing communists love to do is divide and conquer. Critical race theory is divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Any critical theory, it can be critical class theory, it can be critical vaccination theory, whatever, however you can divide people and conquer. So what are they doing? They're trying to make us hate teachers. Okay. That's why they call themselves a teacher union. So the most important thing for me to tell your audience is it's not the teachers. It's not the teachers. All those great experiences you had with teachers, I was one of those teachers. I would still be in the classroom today if it wasn't for all the corruption. The majority of teachers are good and loving people. According to internal studies by the National Education Association, the union, over 35 years they did studies, and they found that the majority of teachers were conservatives. I believe that. That was my experience. Good, mostly godly people who cared deeply about children and education. So what happened? Okay, if you were the devil and you wanted to deceive people, what would you do? You'd get behind the most trusted face. So there's these surveys that go out every couple of years, and they've been doing it for years and years and years. And they would ask, what's the most trusted profession in America? For decades, teachers topped the list, 100%. Number one or number two. Who was at the bottom of the list? Unions, every time.
I can see that.
Yeah, so what the unions do, they take over the most trusted profession in America, and all they've done is destroy us ever since, demolish our profession. When I was teaching, the 28 years, my husband, 42 years, We were bullied constantly by the union leaders. I even stepped up as a union rep for 3 years to try to change things from the inside because I thought, what's going on here? None of my friends agree with this. Oh my gosh, I was so bullied in there. I have friends who've been spit upon by union leaders, who've been barred from serving on committees because they tried to stop the sex ed decades ago. All this whole evil agenda that we're all watching unfold, it has been brewing inside the so-called unions, the education mafia, for decades. They write the talking points of the Democrat Party. They're communists. And they have so cleverly captured not only the teaching profession, but every agency and institution out there. They're representing, you know, firefighters. They're representing DMV workers. They're representing the CDC, which is why that's so corrupt. So it's really important for people to realize the unions are the evil. The government unions are the evil, not the teachers, not the police officers, not the firefighters, right. Not the DMV, right. Not the nurses, right? So right. The people we need to hate on or, you know, kick out of our society is the government unions. It's my goal before I die to make them illegal again, because we never allowed government unions to be legalized in America. We knew it would be a destructive force. It's corrupt. I don't know if your audience knows, but just the education unions alone, just the teacher unions alone, collect around $5 billion annually, tax-free. And they spend it all on destroying America. They spend it all on pushing communism, on supporting things like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and just demolishing good teachers. So many good teachers have left the classroom because they can't take it anymore.
Yes, I have noticed that a lot of good teachers will not go back to the classroom. I talked to one at my hardware store just down the road. He was a male and he loved teaching, but he is no longer feeling safe in his classroom and at school anymore. And he's fed up with it. He's tired of wondering if I'm going to come home alive or not at school. Yep. And so he's like, and never would you ever have thought that to be true, but they do it on purpose because one of the things the communists do is they want chaos. And if you notice, like in a lot of the heavier blue cities, there's a lot of crime. Like in Los Angeles, there was an article that just came out about robberies. Because they can't even prosecute if it's under $1,000.
That's right.
And so there was which store was it that just went out? Sprouts. I think Sprouts just left California because they couldn't turn a profit. So they use chaos and they use violence because if they can do that, it's easier to get their things going and being manipulated without people's view because the protectors are too busy putting out fires all over the place that they can't actually protect the homeland. It's then their manifestos. You can go look at it yourself. So the fact that there's violence in the schools is, I think, a planned thing because they could add more resource officers. You know what's going on right now in Arizona? They want to add community schools, and maybe we can touch on this in a minute, and they can get grants from the superintendent of public instruction, and the grants can go for school resource officers known as SROs or social workers. If I'm a parent, I'm going to say I would rather that grant money go to SROs, but what the schools are pushing for is social workers because the social workers are going to be a key component to this community schools that they're implementing. And we can go on to a little bit of that, but in upcoming shows, we're going to deep dive into that. So you're right about that. So the money that goes into the student union, the teachers union goes to fund communist agendas such as Black Lives Matter, Antifa. Does it go and fund politicians? Like where else does the money go? Or maybe you don't know the answer to that.
Oh yeah, I know the answer. You name the far left politician or the far left agenda, the so-called union, teacher union, the education mafia is funding it. The Ed Mafia funds open borders, abolishing ICE, sanctuary cities, the whole LGBTQ plus agenda, and attacking those who don't bow to them and do whatever they want, firing teachers who won't use pronouns. The unions are behind all of that. They put Obama in office. They put Biden in office. You see all the Biden's appointing all these circus people, like, you know, the bearded lady and whatever. He's actually want us to take seriously these people who aren't even qualified. They put him in office just because they're a guy pretending to be a girl or whatever. That's the unions are behind all of that, all of it. So you name the problem, community schools, the unions are behind that. So they are literally destroying this country from every angle of this country. Every crevice of this country is being destroyed by government unions. You mentioned the teacher who, a male teacher who didn't even feel safe at school. Imagine how the females feel. Exactly. I would like to address him because his union funded that. So when the education mafia put Obama in office, the unions wrote a new policy, new law, and Obama is the one, of course, who helped them get it done. And they sent a dear colleague letter to all the school districts. Teachers didn't know about it, but the administrators did. And basically what they did was they started something called racial equity discipline policies. And they brought in these really lousy discipline plans like PBIS, positive behavior intervention and supports, and others. Basically, what they did was turn our schools into war zones. I was still teaching when that happened. I used to have complete control of my class. My principal always gave me the most troubled kids, kids whose parents were in jail and all that kind of stuff, because he knew I would love on them and I would discipline them and he would back me up. Well, as soon as this Obama era, written by the teacher unions, not teachers, but the unions, policy passed, all of a sudden, there's no consequences. Kids do something really terrible. The teacher sends them out for discipline. They come back 10 minutes later with a lollipop or goldfish crackers, or they come back with a letter, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And then they do it again. No consequences. So our schools are complete war zones. I would argue we don't need school resource officers. What we need is to get rid of the unions and all their evil agenda, get rid of this Obama union agenda of not allowing us to discipline kids, and just bring back discipline. If it were up to me, the unions would be out, 100% out. All their special interests would be out, including the PTA, which has been totally corrupted by the union.
What? Involved. The PTA?
PTA is corrupt as the day is long.
You have to go into that because that's just blowing people's minds right now.
I would love to tell them about that. So we get all the special interest groups out. Our schools should be run by parents, and the parents should choose the teachers that support the parents and their children and do a great job. Especially
and vice versa, because I think it's important for the teacher, the parents to also back the teachers up.
Absolutely.
You know what? I don't like this attitude. Like when a teacher is trying to go to the parent and say, hey, your kid is really disruptive in class, I really could use your support. And the parent comes back and says, oh, that's not my kid. My kid would never. Well, your kid is. Yeah. And instead of like, it was at one time when your teacher sent you a note home, you got double trouble. It was worse coming home to your parents because absolutely. It was double trouble. You wanted to be good for your teacher, because the last thing you wanted is your parents to find out you were misbehaving in some way, and then it was worse.
Absolutely.
It's not that way anymore. And I think it goes back to the destruction of the family, because now we have a lot of single parent households. They are working their butt off to provide for the family, and they are exhausted when they come home. Yes. So the discipline thing, perhaps, you know, they're just too tired to really focus on disciplining. Yes. They have to get through the dinner and the homework and send the kid off to bed and then the ritual again. Whereas when we used to have a two-parent household, it was a little bit easier because, you know, one parent might be home, or at least if there was two parents working, you know, they could balance that off a little bit. Anyways, the destruction of the parent is also, I think, part of the problem. Yeah. Not backing up the school teacher, but the teachers and the parents need to be working together, because growing up, I knew my teachers cared about me. I knew my parents cared about me. And when you have two adults that care about the child, you know, it makes a huge difference in how this kid is going to learn and grow up and be a functional adult. When there's no discipline on the low levels, how are they going to function as adults? Oh, they're not going to show up to work on time. They're going to get fired all the time. And when you have a lot of money problems, maybe you might turn to crime. Maybe you'll steal something because you don't have the money, because you keep getting fired.
Yep.
Is your boss going to let you show up late every single day to work without any consequences? I don't think so. Exactly. Is your boss going to let you not produce whatever he's hired you or she has hired you to do? No, eventually you don't produce, you get fired.
Exactly.
So our schools, aren't they supposed to equip us with like learning life skills too along the way?
Well, 100%. And that you're making, so many things are coming to my mind as you're talking. One of them is, one of my things I call it the education triangle. That triangle is the child at the top, the parent and the teacher are the other two corners. We work together to do what's right for that child. Discipline is right for that child. Learning is right for that child. Having a schedule is right for that child. All those things. My dad used to tell me, I discipline you now so that the society won't discipline you later. Exactly. So it's so important that we do that. And then the other thing, I have an Aunt Jelaine who taught in a one-room schoolhouse. She taught 46 years in Minnesota and died at 103. I asked her when she was 101, I said, Aunt Jelaine, what did you do with all the discipline problems? And she looked at me like I was from Mars. She goes, I never had a discipline problem. In 46 years of teaching, I never had a discipline problem. The parents supported me 100%. And she supported the parents. That's all it is. And that's what our schools were for decades and decades and decades, until these evil unions showed up with their demonic agenda and they got in and they undermined parents. And by the way, I know I'm going to offend some people when I say this, but it needs to be said. One of the things they brought in was self-esteem. And they told us to teach our kids self-esteem, self-esteem, build them up, build them up. It's not working, people. There's so many kids that think I'm the greatest this, I'm the greatest that, and they're not disciplined. We don't need self-esteem. We need self-control. So every time you turn around, you can find these unions in their agenda where they bring it into our teacher colleges or they bring it into the media because they run the media. They own a lot of the media. And
the
so,
teachers union owns a lot of media.
Oh, yeah. Well, or they're controlling it. Like they fund Media Matters. Media Matters is this very nasty organization, you know, that writes hit pieces about people like you and me.
Right.
Yeah, teacher union dues are funding Media Matters and Planned Parenthood and other things. And you wanted me to talk about PTA? Do you want me to go into that real quick? So in the 1960s and 70s, the teachers union, the NEA, well, the education mafia, let's call them what, I feel like every time we say teacher union, we're throwing good teachers under the bus.
Yeah.
So they're education mafia. In the 60s and 70s, they bullied the PTA into a stance of neutrality. And so what happened was the PTA became neutral. Starting at that point, they are never allowed to take any stance opposite that of the education mafia. So that's why you see parents out picketing at, you know, teacher union strikes and all this stuff. Parents never wanted strikes. They wanted kids to learn. They wanted kids to be in the classroom. The PTA wanted to cover the class when the teachers went on strike. And the union said, no way, you can't cover the class, because then they wouldn't have leverage to, you know, use the whole country as pawns to get their agenda. So the PTA is corrupt. And just here's an example. I went and testified at the state Senate Education Committee. I live in California. Disastrous state run by the education mafia. We the people aren't voting for these nightmares. It's the education mafia doing this to us. But I went to testify with hundreds of others. And we just wanted transparency. We didn't want every kid learning this sex ed. We wanted parents to be able to opt in instead of opt out. And there were hundreds of us, and we brought thousands of letters from people across the state. So we the people showed up. On the other side, wanting to push this radical sexualized agenda, was less than 10 people. They were all paid lobbyists. They were there. They were there from Planned Parenthood, ACLU, the teachers unions, and the PTA. Okay? Pushing the radical sexualized agenda.
Now I'll talk about what's in this sexual agenda. What's in, because when some parents hear sex ed, they think, okay, my kids are going to learn about their bodies changing from being adolescents to going into puberty, and that's where it stops. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so that's one of the ways the unions got. So you said earlier we all had these good experiences with great teachers. So when the unions took over, they didn't all of a sudden make every teacher do bad things or bring in bad things all of a sudden, because everybody would have thrown, no way, that's evil. They slowly took over. How did they slowly take over to sexualize your kids? They brought in what you're talking about, the birds and the bees. It used to be that was left up to parents. We didn't teach that in our public schools. Parents taught their children that which is appropriate. So slowly they started bringing it in through biology classes and everything else. When I'm 57 years old, when I was a freshman in high school, my health class, Planned Parenthood came in and passed out condoms and did all kinds of stuff. I was so uncomfortable. That was in the 80s. Okay. I knew this was wrong. Also in the 80s, I personally know someone who in the 80s went to school, was pregnant. The school gave her and her boyfriend bus tokens. They went to the local Planned Parenthood, got an abortion, came back. Parents don't know about it to this day. They did it twice. People, this has been going on in our schools for decades, and they've been doing it behind the scenes, under the radar, and now they're just open with it. So what's going on right now with the sexualized agenda? Watch out for something called Comprehensive Sexuality Education, or CSE. So what the education mafia works very closely with the United Nations, the World Health Organization, Planned Parenthood, and other radical groups. Yes, the UN is radical. They are not on your side.
Yes, very radical. Yes,
evil, evil stuff. I have a friend who lobbies at the United Nations on behalf of parents like us, and she told me that the F word at the United Nations is family. We're considered the F word there. Okay. They hate us. They hate families all over the world. And so this whole radical agenda is being pushed by very powerful organizations. But I want people to note something. The United Nations, the World Health Organization, and unions, all of them have put themselves in power. They're not elected officials. They put themselves in power. We need to destroy all those organizations.
They're called non-governmental organizations.
Yep.
That's right. NGOs is what you'll hear that term.
Mm-hmm. Yep. NGOs. And they send a bunch of money to smaller NGOs to steal elections, to sex traffic children, to do all kinds of evil.
Wait. You're from California. And did I just hear stealing elections? What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And the education mafia is behind that, too. And I can prove it. They have in their written data that they only want mail-in ballots and no voter ID. If you want no voter ID and only mail-in ballots, you want fraud. You're trying to manipulate the system. Mm-hmm. I've lived in I'm a fourth generation Californian. My state is beautiful. We have wonderful, godly, caring, good people here. And we are being destroyed by this education mafia and other government unions who are literally stealing our elections. I live in Orange County, which is always called Reagan County because we're so conservative. We supposedly went to Hillary. There's no way, no way we went to Hillary.
Well, and just like Arizona didn't go to Joe Biden. If you lived in Arizona during the 2020 election cycle, you would have seen from the very top of the state to the very bottom of the state, from east to west, Trump flags everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere. Yep. I never saw that in my life for any candidate.
Same thing here in California. We had people out every weekend rallying with Trump flags, driving with miles long caravans.
Trump trains, flags, right?
Yep. All over the place.
Miles and miles.
All over. The one in Arizona I saw was like 90 miles long or something. I saw a video of it. And no, that's right. So we're being stolen and people don't understand how it's happening. It's the unions. It's the government unions. They have their tentacles in all of this, and they send money to these NGOs who we saw on that movie. What's that movie about the stolen election? They showed us how the NGOs were used to pay people to gather, which is illegal, to gather people's votes.
2,000 mules?
Yes, 2,000 mules. And this is what's going on here. Look, people are giving government unions billions and billions of dollars annually tax-free because they think these unions are their friend and their savior and getting them a pension and all of this stuff. I got news for you. Your pensions are trillions underfunded, but the union boss pensions are overfunded. These people are using you. They're destroying your country. We're a constitutional free republic, or we were. They want us to be a communist country. They want to bring in these community schools, which are communist all the way, and they'll use those schools to steal your kids and to use your kids against you. And
I'm so glad you said that, because they make you sign some type of waiver that gives that where you sign some of your parental rights away a little bit. I'm going to go into it in depth with this lady who ran for the school board here, because I don't know everything that there is to know. But you know, one thing that the late Senator Schaefer said from Georgia is she said that
while you're thinking of it, was she the one that died in that horrible car accident?
I don't know how she died, but they murdered her because she was telling people how they were trying to traffic your kids through CPS.
Right. She said they're totally doing that. And by the way,
social workers are the glue that keeps the whole thing going, especially in the court system. And what they're going to do is they're having more social workers involved in the community schools. Oh, what she said is that the poor people are the most targeted for trafficking your kid because you can't afford attorneys. Yes. And so they're also going to be mostly targeted at the community schools because they're going to offer everything, a doctor, this, that, the everything that you would possibly need in life, they're going to offer through the school system, even though you can get it outside the school system. But it's really, really going to target the poor because they're going to be like, well, I can't afford, I don't have insurance, or I don't have great insurance, or I can't afford the copay. Don't worry, just sign this little form. It's okay. And we'll give it to you for free to this government because they think the children belong to them. They don't believe your children belong to you.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
So, do you like to start your day off with a cup of coffee? What if I told you you could get a cup of coffee that not only helps rejuvenate your mind, get you going in the morning, but it could reduce stress? What would you say? Well, I have just the solution for you. I have the Java Boost right here. It's delicious. It's the most creamy, delicious vanilla coffee that is infused with antioxidants from muscadine, ginger, and turmeric. It eliminates cravings, it helps support healthy blood chemistry, and it promotes healthy weight loss. When have you ever heard of a coffee that helps promote healthy weight loss? So if you want a coffee that's delicious, creamy, vanilla, helps reduce stress and fatigue, and helps promote healthy weight loss, then you want to grab Java Boost for yourself. And the easiest way to do that is going to cupahealth.com. That's cupahealth.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.